Coming up, a worthy competitor to the iPad Mini, a notebook computer that can do the splits, and Q Neo. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter Before You Buy.
Do, 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 do. Boom, 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 but you don't get it, don't go, go.
I guess I'm not the musician here. Fortunately, we have somebody who is coming up in just a bit, Jason Howell. But first, welcome to Before You Buy, the product review show on the TWiT Network, where we get all the greatest, latest stuff, and we give our staff a chance to play with it, to look at it, and give you their personal opinions. We're going to start with Justin Robert Young from NSFW. Hey, Jerry.
How you doing?
Welcome back. You were just at rainy Lambeau Field.
Historic tundra of Lambeau Field.
You did NFL Films presents a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, for the Go Game. That's my day job, is I travel around the country and put on scavenger hunts for a company called the Go Game. And that kind of makes me, I guess, de facto the Before You Buy travel reviewer. So I put these products through their paces.
Do you use an iPad?
Every day.
Every day. It is your work computer? Is that where you plan the scavenger hunts on and stuff like that?
Oftentimes I'll use it either for scouting out a game zone, but primarily what I'll use it for is, and I can show it when I demo this product, but I'll use it as my sound computer. So I have an app called Soundboard, and I'll play all the audio cues and everything through that. But this is the Logitech Fabriskin case.
I don't blame you. It's hard to pronounce. Fabriskin keyboard folio for iPad.
There we go.
We reviewed a couple of keyboard cases for the iPad last week. This is the third in the bunch. Also from Logitech. Logitech makes a number of these.
Yeah.
What's different about this one?
Well, here is what I really, really, really enjoyed about it. Primarily, it is if you use your iPad for a utility purpose, like
you do. It's not a toy for you.
Yeah.
It's your work.
It's something that I use a lot. The one thing that I've always found kind of frustrating about the Snap magnet case.
Like the ultra-thin keyboard that Logitech makes. Yeah.
Well, no, or even the one that comes with the, or you have to buy.
The smart cover.
Yeah, the smart cover.
Terrible Apple smart cover.
It's
doesn't do anything.
It's a little wobbly.
You know,
a strong breeze will blow it over.
Yeah.
This is good if you need it upright. But also, there is a lot that just works.
It's a stand plus a keyboard. Now, it looks like kind of a flat keyboard. Is it a real full travel keyboard?
It does. I mean, it has a tactile.
Okay, so those keys go in. Yeah.
The keys.
For some reason, it looks like they're ultra suede. They're not, are they?
No, I don't think so.
They're fabric keys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So here is the best thing about it.
All right.
Number one. It's Bluetooth enabled, so you just click it right there, and it'll flash green, and now you are ready to rock and roll.
Yep.
The battery life on it is exemplary.
Right.
I have not had to recharge it once, and I've been playing around with this thing for probably about a month and change, using it every single day.
Great.
Obviously, with the iPad, if you are doing content creation of any kind in terms of typing, it is not a perfect device without a keyboard. This is a suitable keyboard for it.
Good.
There's a bit of a learning curve.
Learning curve on a keyboard?
Just because you've shift, your tab, caps lock, and shift button, like your caps lock is combined with the A key over here.
So it's not a standard keyboard.
It is not a standard keyboard.
Oh,
and for
that's
the
weird.
First, maybe week and a half, I found myself just kind of naturally sort of shifting over because I'm expecting to have another key next to my pinky. And I would just type a bunch of random
gibberish.
Random stuff there.
Yeah.
But once you get the hang of it, it is just a regular. And now I can't type as I'm trying to lean in here for the camera. But It is just a regular keyboard. I can type as fast as I could on a regular, on my MacBook or something.
So once you got used to it on this latest trip, you were able to use it full time.
Yeah, and really, I would say the majority of my testing with it, I was able to use it perfectly.
Now, the thing that distinguishes this most from other Logitech iPad keyboard cases is its fabric.
Yeah, and that's another element of the design, because really what you were doing is trading the thinness and functionality of having a really, really light tablet computer for the ability to type on it.
Because it makes it look pretty bulky, to be honest with you. I can't believe there's a, it looks like a Surface.
Yeah,
I can't believe there's an iPad in there.
It is very much a bulkier book. Yeah. And here, go ahead and feel it. It is heavy.
It's heavy. Yeah. Well, it feels substantive. Now, this is not fabric. This is rubber on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the inside is kind of fabric-y, fabric-like.
Yes, fabric-esque.
It's kind of odd that they would call that fabric.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Listen, I'm not...
It's a fabric skin.
I'm not one to get into the ins and outs of exactly what is and isn't.
What fabric is that exactly, Justin?
We're going to get just reams of mail from the textile lobby on illustrating for us exactly what is and is not fabric.
Okay. It's not, let me put it this way. That never saw a weaving machine in any kind.
I don't believe.
I believe it's extruded, not weaved.
It did not come off the loom.
No.
Right,
not
direct
the fruit
to your
of,
eye,
of any loom. IPad. Okay, yeah.
So the battery's great.
Good battery.
It looks.
It looks cool, but it's heavy.
Looks cool. It is heavy.
Yep.
And, you know, it does just really radically change the size of what is otherwise a iPad. But I have found it extraordinarily helpful.
I got to add one other point, because it's $150 on the Logitech site. That's $50 more than their other keyboard covers, or $30 at least.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you can find the ultra-thin keyboard for $80. So you're paying a premium for this.
You are. And I was not able to
test. Is it price per pound?
The same way you buy shrimp, apparently. Yeah, you buy iPad cases from Logitech. Yeah. Yeah, I was not able to field test the other cheaper model, so I do not know exactly
but
what you
like
are getting
this one, I
out
get
of
the
this.
Feeling. I'm starting
I
to
am
think.
Actually going to personally buy this because
with
I've become so dependent on it for my job. I give it a buy, but with the caveat that if you use your iPad as some kind of work computer, and it is something that you want to do more content creation on in terms of typing, it has been fantastic. And again, one of the things with this that you really, really like, it's not a problem and you don't think about it until it is the fact that this battery life is just work. Right. You know, this
many hours.
Yeah. It's super awesome until it runs out of battery and then it is a completely useless.
You charge it via USB?
You charge it. Yeah. It's got
they're all pretty much the same.
Mini
you know,
USB.
That's one of the reasons that's heavy.
It.
It's probably got a fairly big battery in that for that.
And that's what you kind of pay for.
All right. That's the Logitech Faberskin keyboard folio for the iPad. $150, but.
Easy for you to say.
JRY says it's a buy.
It's a buy.
Buy
for
Thumbs
me.
Up. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we reviewed my new desk. The standing desk has got a motor. I can raise it up to standing or sit down. It's convertible, and I love it from UpDesk. I'm a big fan. The UpDesk folks wrote to us and said, hey, we got a new one that's even better, the Upright. Let's see what Shannon Morris, our producer, thinks. Shannon?
Hey, guys. I'm Shannon Morris, the producer of Before You Buy, and today I have a desk, but it's not just any desk. This is the Upright by UpDesk. So the one that I specifically got is the 5-foot-long one. This one is 60 inches by 30 inches, and it costs $1,149 online. So this is their second series of desks. The cool things about this one specifically is this awesome whiteboard. Not only can it be used to make awesomely cute characters everywhere, but you can also use dry and wet erase markers to do your tasks. So one thing I found very useful about this whiteboard for myself specifically was I do lots of stuff on calendars. I'm a very organized and task efficient person. I would take the wet erase marker and then draw out the lines of the calendar and the dates, and then I would use the dry erase marker for all of my tasks. So it would be very easy for me to just erase them with, you know, just a paper towel or whatnot. I wouldn't even have to get it all wet to wipe everything off. So you can use it with both of those, no problems at all. Another nice thing about this is it's contoured on the front. Not a lot of desks come like that, but when they do, I like it because it's very easy to scoot all the way up and be able to reach everything on your desk, no problem, especially if you're a little bit shorter like I am. So everybody knows UpDesk for one really big reason, and that is because you can lift it up, which is awesome. So this one lifts from 25.5 inches all the way up to 50.5 inches. And this is great if you're like me and you're kind of short and you always slouch over, especially when you're playing video games. There's 50.5 inches. And then I can raise it back down. So it's great if you play video games and you always slouch over like I do, because like I'm a geek and I'm always on my computer. So you can raise it up to a certain height that will make you have a better stance. So you'll end up having a better core, and it's got a lot of health benefits. And not only is it good for that, but you can also use a treadmill with it. I know that's really big these days. And if you have any kind of physical disabilities, like if you're in a wheelchair, you need a lower desk, this would be a really good possibility for you. So as you can see, there's three different programmable buttons down here as well. That is really cool, because if you're one of the ladies out there and you both wear flats and high heels and you want to have a standing desk, not only can you program it for your flats, but also your high heels. And there's like a 4-inch difference there, and you don't want to slouch over. That is pretty darn cool. And if you're ever worried about your motor dying out or something like that, which I have not had any kind of experience with this upright desk, there's no problem. There's a warranty on the desk for as long as you need. Now, let's get into the pros and cons. First off, the health benefits. I definitely need something that is going to give me better posture so that I don't end up like a little old hunchback lady when I'm older. Also, the whiteboard is very useful, especially if you're someone like me and you need to take lots of tasks and you need to make lots of lists. It's very useful. And the weight. So this is really cool. You can actually fit 300 pounds on this thing with no problem. And my cons. So unfortunately, you do have to set it up. It does not come pre-assembled. Although it only takes about 20 minutes or so to get it assembled, as long as you're not asking an intern to do it. Just kidding, interns. And last but not least, the price. I know that it is a little bit more expensive than normal desks that are out there. Of course, this is pretty price competitive when you look at standing and sitting desks. So it's competitive. It definitely is. Now, would I give it a buy, try, or don't buy? I have to give this a buy. I love this desk. It's very, very useful. It's nice because it's helping me have a better posture. And all in all, yeah, I think I'll buy one. This is Shannon, and this is the Upright with UpDesk.
Thank you, Shannon. Yeah, so the changes from the one I reviewed, it goes a little higher. They said, the UpDesk guys said, because some people want to put treadmills under these. Not sure I'd recommend that. They also said it's kind of hard to type when you're on a treadmill. And it has the whiteboard, which I think is a very nice feature. And it's about $150 more than the one I bought. I did assemble mine, and it was a snap. It was easy. It was not anything easier than IKEA furniture. Let's put it that way. So I would agree with Shannon. I love my UpDesk. And this one looks even a little bit better. That's called the Upright. Coming up, we've got a musician in house, Mr. Yellow Gold, Jason Howell. Yeah, you thought I didn't know, did you? Cuneo is a product that some musicians might be interested in to help make music on your computer. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about stamps.com, a little tip for the postal professional out there. And I don't mean somebody working at the post office. I mean somebody who spends time at the post office. If your business sends stuff via the U.S. mail, whether it's invoices, flyers, shipments, boxes, anything you send through the mail, you got to know about stamps.com. It eliminates that trip to the post office because you can print your own official U.S. postage anytime, 24/7, from your computer and your printer. No special inks needed. You'll save a lot of money over the expensive postage meter. And a lot of time not going to the post office. You can do everything you could do at the post office from stamps.com. I actually have been talking about stamps.com for some time. We asked people who use stamps.com to let us know what they think about it. I got an email from Andrew Canici, who uses stamps.com for his business. He sells record albums, which I love. The Lakeshore, isn't that great?
Really?
Record Exchange. So he ships records, albums. He says business is better than ever. He used to go to the post office at the end of every day to buy postage. Every day to buy postage for the packages they were shipping. He heard us talk about stamps.com. He tried it. Now he uses it for everything. We asked him, well, what do you like the best? He says the discounts on the postal rates and services. You do get discounts from Stamps.com. You can't even get at the post office. And I love this, too, the immediate notification via email to customers when their order has shipped. It actually automatically sends out an email with a tracking number. Post office won't do that for you. Stamps.com will. I love Stamps.com. Andrew Canici, thank you, and good luck with the record business. I hear it's booming. Seriously, it's back.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Lakeshore Record Exchange. Look it up. And if you want to try Stamps.com, look this up. Stamps.com. Click the try it button. But wait a minute. Don't get that $80 value. Click the microphone try it button, that special one in the upper right-hand corner. Use our offer code before you buy, all one word, and you're going to get a $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale to weigh your letters and packages, so you always have exactly the right postage, and up to $55 free postage coupons you can use through your first few months as a Stamps.com customer. It's a great deal. And, of course, 30 days free at Stamps.com. Try it today. Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage and use our offer code before you buy. No spaces. All one word. Before you buy at Stamps.com. So I got a little props to Jason Howell, who we know best as the producer of TNT and the host of All About Android. Mm-hmm. But I know you make great music. I've heard your guitar music, and it blows me away. You're really talented.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But I didn't know is that you've done albums before.
You're
working on a new one. You've got a Kickstarter for Yellow Gold. In fact, if people go to Kickstarter.com and look for Yellow Gold.
You can look for Yellow Gold. I think you'd also just look for Jason Howell, and it'll probably
that's how I found it. So you've already recorded this album. It's done.
Yeah, I've spent the past year working on it pretty hard. I'm pretty hard around family and full-time job, which means late into the night.
But this is your leisure. This is what you enjoy doing more than anything.
Yeah, I'd be doing this regardless.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, I was doing this for myself anyways. I just got enough people that heard about it that were like, well, we want to hear it because you released your last one on Bandcamp. We want to hear this one. So I was like, well, let's see what I can do with it.
Do you play real instruments? Is it computer music?
Everything.
What is it?
So, guitar, bass, programmed elements like drums.
Do you sing?
Piano, sing.
Oh, wow.
All nine yards.
Get a singing saw?
What's that? No, but apparently I need to get that for the next album.
Just saying.
Well, you're looking for $4,000 to put this out. You've already raised $2,745.
Yeah, in 24 hours.
That is pretty awesome.
I'm pretty darn happy.
I expect my album. I'm excited about this. So I just wanted to tell people about it.
And, I appreciate that.
You can go to Kickstarter.com and support Jason's hobby. But more than that.
And hopefully we're gonna have him on NSFW show performing live. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now he's got a little thing he can use to do that.
There we go.
This is
the Cuneo.
I was walking through the edit room back there where Shannon, your desk is also, and I saw this sitting on the counter, and I stopped in my tracks. I was like, whoa, what is this? Audio technology in the house?
That's mine.
More of this, please.
Now I've used and I bought for my son something called an MPC. Yep. Akai makes them I bought him a fairly expensive Akai MPC, mm-hmm. which looks like that.
Yeah.
This is not that.
No. This is a controller. This is a MIDI controller. So any applications that support MIDI or MIDI through USB, you can see that's a micro USB port on the side.
So these pads trigger sounds.
Absolutely. And it's highly customizable. I should also mention that it also works with an iPad. If you have an iPad that supports OPC or OSC, which is Open Sound Control, you can get a special cord and connect it to your iPad and do things like Tractor DJ.
Normally, it's MIDI over USB.
Yeah, that's exactly what it does. So basically, you've got all these different pads, and there's software that you also get that essentially allows you to customize exactly what notes all of these trigger and what they do.
So DJs would use something like this, and in fact, that's what they do with the MPCs too, to kind of put together a bunch of loops and then trigger them.
Yes. So is taking the MPC example, right? That would be a drum trigger situation. That would be using it like it's a drum machine. So
and can you do it that?
Let me load.
Does it come with software, or are you using something else?
I'm using a program called Ableton Live.
Okay.
Very
popular.
Yeah, very, very popular performance program, software for electronic music in a large.
So it works with that out of the box?
So it does.
So now it's a drum pad.
Yeah, so this I just kind of threw together before the show just to kind of show it off because I don't really use it as a drum pad,
right?
But it can be done that way. Basically, these big squares right here can do a lot of things. All these buttons are multi-touch, so they can track two different fingers at any given time.
No kidding.
These squares, you can either set them up in one of two different ways. You can set it up in drum mode, which is essentially just the pad triggers a sound, right?
Right.
Or you can set it up into a mode where each corner is its own operation.
So you get even more than the 16 pads.
Exactly. So what I was doing, what I've been working on the last couple of weeks,
and we're dimming the lights so people can see the colors. And
wow, it's
but the colors tell you something. So now you've got four. Do you have four actions on the?
So this is my DJ profile, basically.
Okay.
I've produced a lot of electronic music over the years, and I've always wanted to mix them into one continuous mix.
Yeah.
And so when I got this, I was like, this is my perfect opportunity to do it. Crossfader, I've kind of emulated the crossfader here.
It's a slider that you can actually slide.
Yeah,
oh, that's
slide,
so cool.
You can slide this, or you could program this to be anything you want. One of the examples they say is you could set up a filter and with two fingers control the kind of the frequency range and move around, and widen it or bring it together.
Wow.
It's fully customizable, right? I've got my mixing levels on deck A and deck B.
Sliders or mixers, okay.
I've got these, routed to like cutting the lows, taking a high pass filter.
It could be any function, though.
Anything. Absolutely anything that you can assign to MIDI. Actually, Brian, if you roll a little bit of stuff. I mean, it's not the most exciting.
Jason in his studio.
Yeah, so this is from my house. It's not the most exciting thing in the world because the way that I DJ is kind of slow and blending over time. So I'm not like a
trance.
Flashy kind of like...
You're more a trance type.
More along those lines.
I want to get a latte. This is great.
But you can kind of see like using the crossfader with one hand. That's what through Google
what would you
Glass, by the way. The two... sliders on the left are basically track level, and then the sliders up at the top are essentially cutting the low end out of.
So this is all
track.
Stuff you could do on the computer keyboard, but it's so much more intuitive and natural.
Absolutely.
To do it on the
and
pad.
then you can see the little pads, right? The four different dots in Ableton Live that allows me to queue up the next song, to go through the list and essentially say, okay, I'm going to play this song now.
Right.
Hit one of the corners and that would trigger it. So yeah, again, it's not the most exciting thing to watch, but
so what does somebody like Deadmau5 use?
Well, that's a really good question. I would not be surprised
something
if
like
Deadmau5,
this?
Who has all the money in the world when it comes to electronic music,
right.
probably has a few of these in his arsenal because it's so highly customizable and it's really portable. Like, the thing is
it's the size and shape of an iPad.
That's exactly it. I mean, it fits right into your backpack. There's nothing protruding out of it to really kind of break or fall apart in a lot of, kind
How
of moving around.
How convenient is that? I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
By the way, I love the music.
Thanks.
Is that what Yellow Gold's going to sound
like? No. That's my other project called Raygun, which is where the Raygun came from.
I like it.
But just so you know, just as background for this, it was actually funded. It was a Kickstarter project.
No kidding.
It was Kickstarter in 2011. It was 11 times overfunded.
Wow.
So people really kind of saw the potential of this, and it costs $200 right now. It's actually...
What?
Pretty incredible what
the
you
MPC
get.
I bought, Henry. Now, of course, it has a hard drive and a computer.
Exactly.
It's really for
it
making music. It's called a music production center.
Yeah.
But that was over $1,000.
It has
bucks.
Processing
wow.
brains. This is quite literally a MIDI controller. But when you've got software in your computer or on your iPad, you can make it do the same exact thing, more or less, that the MPC does.
I am very impressed.
I've had a blast with it. I've already decided at the end of this interview, I didn't want to let them know before, but at the end of this interview, I'm going to email them and say, all right, I have to get one of these. Can I just keep this and pay you whatever I need to pay you? Like, let me throw money at you because I love it so much.
And I think I might get one for Henry. I think he would find this very useful. He's going to go to college in a month. That's more like the kind of thing you'd carry than a big, heavy MPC.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the portability alone, just being able to throw this in my backpack and then do all of the musical things with a laptop that I'm so used to doing locked down at my desktop computer in my studio is great.
I say Herbie Hancock uses this. Others? That's pretty
amazing. Yeah, a lot of artists. It's very
I'll tell you, especially for a DJ where you have to go where the party is.
Exactly.
Literally. Portability is a major issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And, DJs, by a large degree nowadays, it's not the traditional sense of I only play vinyl. Like, DJ now, even compared to 10 years ago, is highly digital. And things like this make that a possibility.
We worked with the DJ Scratchy, who is a guy who plays Vegas and does a lot of stuff. And he was just two iPads and something like that.
That's really neat.
To the USB, because all you got to do is toss that into a backpack, get on a plane, and you're ready for the gig.
It does have some downsides. So I'll just give the pros and the cons here. The pros, super compact and portable, highly customizable and very versatile in that regard. It's really well built and just light. And, it's purdy. I mean, it's got the little blinky lights. One thing I didn't mention, these lights here, you can program it so that it shows you. It's basically like an LED, a VU meter, responding to the audio on each of those individual tracks. Really? So even though you're changing the volume, it's showing you if your beats are lined up, things like that. Pretty cool stuff. On the negative side, it's not ideal for precision. If you're really wanting to get in there and be really precise with your moves, it's a little bit broader than that. So you got to kind of be careful. I got really used to it over time, figuring out how to be more precise by kind of pushing my finger in there a little bit harder. But just be aware of that. And so as a result, you need a heavy finger for that pressure sensitivity. One thing I didn't mention, just as a final point here, every pad, I did say that it's multi-touch. Every pad also responds to pressure, so how hard you push it down. Velocity, so how fast it goes down. Those all send different commands. And then I think I mentioned XY, which basically means I could program one of these squares so that no matter where my finger is in the middle of it, it's sending different commands. So, you know, maybe a filter or whatever, that kind of stuff.
Very cool.
Very cool stuff. Absolutely recommend to buy.
This was designed by Keith McMillan. Yep. He raised money. He asked for on Kickstarter. He asked for, I think, like 50,000. No,
15
and
like
raised
that, yeah.
150. It was just an amazing success story. Wow. One of the things that really show how valuable Kickstarter is, because this is a real product.
I love it.
And without Kickstarter, I don't know if it would have made it. That's really great. So I take it you're saying a buy since you want one yourself.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hands down.
This is actually a personal appeal to the community.
I know, right?
People.
I've seen and worked with a lot of products that are similar in many ways to this, and they usually cost a lot more than this. $200
That's
is
amazing.
An incredible buy for this.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So that is Q-U-N-E-O, Q-N-E-O. And it says here $250, but you're saying it is now currently... $200 from Keith.
I'm not sure if the MSRP is $250. I was searching all over online, and they're all listed at $200.
So that's
maybe
amazing.
They brought it down.
Amazing. Well, thank you.
Everybody's selling it cheaper.
Thank you, Jason. Yeah. And good luck with the yellow gold. Given how much you've raised in one day, 28 more days to go, you're gonna hit your.
I think you're gonna be fine.
The kid stays in the picture.
I really appreciate it, Leo. Thank you,
Jason Howell, producer of TNT and All About Android. And I'm gonna let you. You're coming up with All About Android.
That's right.
Later. I'm going
to
let you
about.
Keep the product I'm reviewing a little bit later on. But first, before we do that, we gave Radford Castro, our engineering manager. You know, Radford's very flexible. Did you know this?
I did not know.
Have you ever seen him do the splits?
Oh,
he can, thanks to the Lenovo IdeaPad Yogo 11S. Let's take a look.
Hi, this is Radford at Twit, and this is the review of the Lenovo Yogo 11S. The Yogo 11S is basically an ultra-portable Windows 8 hybrid that works as a laptop and a tablet. The tablet portion of it is basically a 1366 by 768 resolution display that's using capacitive touchscreen, of course, and runs the full Windows 8 experience. The Yogo runs from a variety of processors from the i3 to the i7. This particular review unit is the i5 version. So the i5 Intel processor is not using the latest version like the Haswell processors, but it's using the more outdated ones. So the Yogo 11S actually has quite a number of things going for it, mostly its design and its portability. Looking at it, it actually has a very clean looking design. It comes in two colors, silver and orange. This one actually has some really nice slots in it. It has an SD card slot, which can take about a variety of things, and it has your USB port, as well as a nice little power adapter that actually flips, kind of a la Apple. Then you have on this side here an HDMI port, an extra USB port, and your typical headphone jack. This one is actually a USB 3 port, but for the most part, it's the same thing you'd expect from other ultra portables. It has a pretty clean keyboard that's very similar to what we're seeing on today's laptops, and it has your trackpad. Now, of course, you have touchscreen and the trackpad, so you can actually control what you would typically control with a regular laptop, and you can touch the screen. When you touch the screen, it actually stops your mouse for a moment, but you can still do the controls from your trackpad. So other than that, it's not too shabby. The really real magic happens is when you actually flip and convert it into a tablet mode. Now, the cool thing about this is that when you're switching to tablet mode, the keyboard is obviously disabled, and if you see the keyboard from the back, it may feel kind of a little bit cumbersome at first because you could feel the keys depressed as you're holding down the tablet. But the cool thing about it is once you kind of get used to it, it actually feels pretty good. Holding it left and right, and the fact that you're touching the mouse pad doesn't really have any consequential issues with the interface, but you can still pretty much do what, you know, what you'd normally expect to do on a regular tablet. I think one of the things I really wanted to point out is the fact that there's actually some pretty good speed in this laptop. And part of that's due because we're running at a more lower resolution. And so let me just show a couple of things here, something that's kind of important, like the gaming aspect. So you can actually use the touchscreen, and you can see right now the graphics are actually pretty fast on an i5. And this is a pure Windows 8 app running this. So it's not too bad. I think the only thing that really bugs me is the fact that the timing of this is just so off. We have new Intel CPUs are running on the Haswell chipset, and those use much less power. So this one is still using the more outdated versions of the Intel i5 CPU, and it'd probably be best to wait. The other thing, too, is that Windows 8.1 is around the corner, and so if you want to take advantage of that nice little start button, you're going to have to wait just a little bit more. So for the pros, I give it a beautiful design. It has a nice keyboard. It's easy to convert. It has a variety of use cases. For instance, you can actually flip the tablet into a standing mode. So it works if you're cooking in the kitchen or whatnot. You can actually do that. It's also pretty durable. It's light on the hands, even when it's in tablet mode, so it's not so bad. It has some pretty good speed, and it's running full Windows 8, so that's the other big advantage. It's not running RT from its older cousin. The cons is that it's using an outdated Intel CPU. Windows 8.1 is coming just right around the corner, so it might be pretty good to wait, but this is still a pretty good laptop. The display could probably be a little bit higher resolution, but that's something we'll probably have to wait on for a bit. So the final verdict, I'd give this pretty much a try. It's just almost there. It's almost there from being a buy, but if you will probably wait a little bit more, the prices might just come down, and you're probably looking at, you know, a laptop that's definitely usable in the near future. So again, this is Radford at Twit, and this is the review of the Lenovo Yoga 11S.
Boy, they're starting to come out with some nice Windows 8 laptops. That's a nice one.
That good
successor, worthy successor to one of the best early ones, the Lenovo Yoga 11S. All right, now it's time for me to talk about my little thing here.
Yeah.
My little thing. Thank you, Radford Castro. He is our director of engineering here at the Twit Brick House. So the best-selling tablet right now by a large margin is this. It, even better than the 10-inch, this is the iPad Mini, the 7.9-inch tablet from Apple.
Selling like hotcakes.
But there is a new tablet in town that I think is going to start taking some of those sales away, and this is it. Google announced it last week. This is the Nexus 7 tablet. From Google. This is the successor, the 2013 version, the successor to the first Nexus 7. Google has it made by Asus. You know, the first one was designed and built in about 5 months, or 5 weeks, I think it was, very quickly. And Asus has had now a year, and Google's had a year to kind of improve the design of this, and they have done everything right. The first thing that's going to jump out at you on this is a 1080p IPS display, 1920 by 1200. That's 323 dots per inch. It's the highest resolution small tablet on the market today. It is just spectacular. And you got to see it probably in person because it really looks good when you get images on it, when you get text on it. If I launch the Kindle application, you could see how books look on it. It's just very crisp. No dots visible at all. 323 dots per inch. Apple would call it a Retina display. Now, you're seeing on the video a little strobing. That is not visible on the screen. That is just an artifact of the frame rate of the camera versus the frame rate of the Nexus 7. It is rock solid, crystal clear. They've added some cameras. So the original Nexus 7 had this front-facing camera. They've moved it a little over to the right. It is 1.2 megapixels. Nice high-def front-facing camera, and they have added a 5-megapixel back camera. Very good quality camera. This looks great. I don't know how many times people use tablets to take pictures, but given the size of this tablet, the ease with which you can put it even into a pocket, this might be something you'd end up taking a lot of pictures with, and it comes with the traditional Jelly Bean camera application. Quite good, quite easy to use, quite fast. I have to say, you might end up taking more pictures with this because it has a camera. Great battery life on this, too. They put a 3950 milliamp hour battery in it. That's a big battery. 9 hours of active use. Basically, I've had this now for 4 days. Charge it up at the beginning of the day overnight, and I don't plug it in again until I go to bed. It's got great battery life. And I've already ordered a Qi charger because it says wireless charging built in. So you could put it on any compatible Qi charger, and it'll just charge up, pick it up, put it down. They've also added stereo speakers, so left and right speakers with Fraunhofer surround sound. That's something new. Inside, a very fast Snapdragon S4 Pro running at 1.5 gigahertz. That's a quad-core processor. Excellent GPU in here as well. And I'll show you, I'll give you a little taste of the GPU by playing a video game. This was one of the games that Google demonstrated when they showed off this tablet last week. This is from Ubisoft. Prince of Persia takes advantage of OpenGL support on here. I think already you can see how great the screen is. Those of you in studio with me can hear how good
this thing sounds.
It's loud. Of course, you'll plug in headphones. No small tablet's going to give you great sound. But it is, you know, it's stereo sound and so forth.
But this is something where you could play a song on it and leave it on the counter. And,
you know what I do is audiobooks. It's fine. Yeah. I wish it had front-firing speakers. It's too bad it's so dark because you can hardly see how good this is. But we'll get into the light. Oh, I'm going to have to fight a battle. I hope you don't mind. I'm just a little busy right now.
You're taking out this hairy house and
yeah,
skeleton.
The reason I'm showing this... Oh, you. The reason I'm showing this, we're turning up the brightness a little bit so you can see some of the detail, is that this is a very competent gaming device. And I think one of the things the iPad does so well is it's a brilliant gaming device. Now, admittedly, Android doesn't have the variety of games yet, but I think given the quality of this display, the speed of the processor, you're going to start seeing more games on this thing. And it certainly does everything Android does so well. Google Now, of course, is built in. Google Speech and so forth. This is the 4.3 version of Jelly Bean, the Android operating system, which means it has built in the multi-user capability. And, of course, Chromecast is supported by it. So if you run Netflix and you have a Chromecast, you can play stuff from it. I've been playing Google Music like crazy from it. Very snappy. I think you can feel how quickly it loads, how quickly pages go. Let me go to Flipboard, which is a kind of a challenging app because, of course, it's very graphical. And you'll see how quickly I'm able to scroll through images.
Wow.
And it feels really good. This is a fast, effective, small tablet. I think the best I've ever used, certainly the best 7-inch I've ever used. Now, one of the things they're doing, this is a 16-gig version. When it comes into your hands, about 12 gigs free. That's one of the nice things about pure vanilla Google Android is it's not very big. It doesn't have a lot of crap on it. So you've got plenty of space. I think 16 gigs may even be enough for most people unless you're going to put very large files on it. I have my Audible books on it. That's probably the biggest thing I have on here. And, you know, it's fine. I haven't run out of room. I can get easily two or three books on here. It will have 32-gigabyte version soon, and they are going to make... By the way, 16 gigs is $229, and that's important. $30 more than the original Nexus 7, but you get a whole lot more than $30 more worth of value. For another $40, unlike Apple, they don't charge a whole lot more for more storage. You can get the 32-gig for $269.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that's a great price.
That's like movie theater pricing.
I know, $40.
For only $40 more, you can have the large.
You can have the large. And they are making an LTE version. That'll be $120 more. And the nice thing about the LTE 32-gig version is it works everywhere. This is the first we've seen with LTE radios for North America and Europe for Verizon and AT&T all in one device. There'll be a SIM card slot right here. And so that makes it very desirable. Both 32 gig and LTE versions are coming down the road later. I tell you what, I'm pretty happy at $229 with this 16 gig tablet. You know, I got to give you pros and cons. The pros, the best screen ever, 323 dots per inch. It's super fast. Video games are great on it. I kind of bought it, to be honest, as a dedicated Simpsons Tapped Out playing machine. And at that price, you could almost do it for that. And it is great. I mean, Simpsons Tapped Out runs so beautifully, so smoothly on here. The detail is fabulous. You almost feel like you live in Springfield. Built-in GPS, which is also nice. Apple does not put a GPS in its Wi-Fi only models. So you can use the Google Maps, a gyroscope, an accelerometer, compass, ambient light sensor. This is a loaded device. So the pros, you get a huge amount for an amazingly low price, a great, very high, highest resolution screen we've seen on this side. All right, I got to find a con. One con.
Yeah.
One con. They could have made a little bit smaller. See how big the bezel is on the left and right hand side. Google says they did that so you can hold it and play games like this. it just gives it a funny aspect ratio. It feels a little tall and stretched because it is 16:9. And so as a result, I would have liked these to be a little bit smaller. Imagine if you get the bezel down to just about the size of the screen, this thing would feel like an amazingly tiny thing. It still is pretty tiny.
Yeah, I mean, smaller than the Mini.
Yeah, it's small. Okay, now this is something to point out. The Apple stuff is 4:3 aspect ratio. So you do have more dots on the screen. You don't have, the resolution is higher, but it's still only 1024x768. So we're talking something like 200 dots per inch compared to 320 dots per inch. There's a big difference here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you get a little bit more screen size, but you don't get more screen real estate. If you prefer 4:3, of course, you're going to want to stick with Apple. Another thing people sometimes mention when they talk about tablets and Android, it used to be that the lack of tablet apps really hurt. This is back in the days of Honeycomb.
Yeah.
Nowadays, almost all apps scale perfectly well, even if they're not tablet-oriented. For instance, I'll show you Carbon. This is my favorite Twitter app on Android. And when you launch it the first time, they say, oh, we're so sorry. This is not an Android app. We apologize that it is not. I mean, it is an Android app. It's not a tablet app. We apologize. But we're going to get a what do you need? This looks great to me. I don't think this is. Then that's the beauty of it. Android apps scale to fit a variety of arbitrary size screens. I don't think it's really an issue. Maybe it doesn't rotate. Maybe that's the one thing that you'd want in a tablet app. Most other apps do, including, of course, Jelly Bean rotates just fine. This is fast. It's easy to use. The only negative, big ears. Hey, I like a lot of people with big ears. It's not going to stop me. I'm going to say it's a buy at $229. This is a remarkable tablet.
What is the biggest upgrade from the last Nexus 7 for you? Last year's? Like how is this
screen
better?
Screen. By the way, a point we should make, the Nexus 7 from last year was starting to get sluggish for a lot of people. Me too. It really felt slower and slower, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. Google finally explained it when they released the upgrade to 4.3. They built in something called Trim into the operating system, which does garbage collection on the on the SSD. Without it, SSDs do get slower and slower. But you know what? I put the latest Jelly Bean upgrade on my old Nexus 7, and it's just as fast as ever now. It really fixed it. And, of course, you won't have that same kind of lag.
So you think between that and the Snapdragon, this will age better than the last
Absolutely. Nexus 7. This is a super fast tablet with a gorgeous screen. And even if you've never used Android, I think you'll find that the difference between iOS and Android has shrunk to such a small size. Almost all the apps you'd ever want to use are available on Android now, including some apps that are not yet available on iOS. Google Now is available on iOS, but it doesn't work nearly as well as it does on Android. So this is a definite buy. An amazing tablet. It just blows me away what they've been able to do for $229. In fact, at this point, I'm going to not only say that people should get this instead of the iPad Mini, but there's a lot of people who are looking at inexpensive Windows computers or Windows RT computers for $300 or $400 and say, I can't spend more for a computer. This is what you should consider. Think about a tablet. You can get a keyboard for another $100, and you've got probably a better system than that cheap PC that you might be looking at. So a definite buy for the Nexus 7. I want to thank all our reviewers. Justin Robert Young, who stuck around. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I won't leave until they turn on the hose, I'll scamper out.
What's coming up on NSFW? Anything exciting?
Well, you know, we have the Summer Music Series is continuing.
You've had
to
music on every show, and the greatest musicians. It's so wonderful to hear them live in studio.
Yeah, I'll tell you. We've been lucky enough to have, I mean, of course, this gorgeous studio, which has celebrated the birthday last week. That
if we could get people to Petaluma, we could get some live music.
Well, you know, we've had Marion Call and Double Clicks, and hopefully we're going to have Jason here, and hopefully more announcements coming up. But yeah, NSFW show every Tuesday night here on the Twit Network.
It's very adult, but it's very good.
We try to...
They go together, really, in my mind.
We have good adult content, but not that adult content.
Don't let the kiddies watch. Thanks to Shannon Morse, our producer, who put the show together and did us a great review on the Updesk. Jason Howell. I always call him Justin Howell.
It's
long lost brother.
It's a great name.
Yeah, Justin Howell, the tall guy. There's a picture of his hand. to Radford Castro and to all of you for watching. We do before you buy. Can I just see his hand again?
Hand.
That's definitely him. There he is. He's coming up. Actually, Jason will be doing All About Android in just a minute or two. We do this show live every Wednesday right after the Giz Whiz about 4 p.m. Pacific. Every Tuesday. Did I say Wednesday? Every Tuesday. 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time on twit.tv. I hope you'll join us live. But if you can't, please, We make audio and video versions of high quality available after the fact at twit.tv/BYB or on YouTube. In fact, each review is chopped up individually, and we sometimes have longer reviews on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. That's so you can share it with somebody interested in the Lenovo or a keyboard case for the iPad. You can say, oh, yeah, there's a great review. Here's the link.
Or Chad did YouTube. A great one for the Chromecast that went up right on Friday.
Right, and he's going to come back next week and give us his full-length review on the Chromecast.
Yeah, but the unboxing, it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. YouTube.com/beforeyoubuy. You can email us, email Shannon at byb@twit.tv if you've got something you'd like us to take a look at. Hey, could you please review XYZ? You let us know. byb@twit.tv. I'm Leo Laporte. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for watching. And remember, you got to watch before you buy. We'll see you next time.